Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Super Dan Anderson, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneer Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Tell them Super Dan sent you.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to the show tonight. It's going to be a great show. Grandmaster Gary Lee is going to be coming on in just a few moments, and we just got so many amazing things happening, and I think he may have just arrived. Professor Gary Lee, are you there?
Yes, sir, Hachi Bowen. How are you this evening? Happy Valentine's Day, sir.
Hey, same to you, sir. I was just telling everyone that it's going to be a great show this evening. And everyone, hey, thank you for reminding me. Happy Valentine's to everyone.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Master Bowen, for opening the introduction. We do have an interesting show tonight, a different format just for Valentine's Day. But we got lots of things to talk about. And later on in the show, I'm going to ask you about some of the events that you're doing and the incredible tournaments that you're involved with. So I'm going to go on with the show if we're ready to go. Rooster should be calling you any moment. Have you checked the line?
Let's find out here.
Okay.
All the lines are open here, so I guess we need to figure out. Hey, Rooster, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Jesse.
Okay. Hey, Rooster, how are you?
How you doing, Mr. Lee? I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, we're going to come back to you in just a few minutes. I'm going to get the show going and stay real close to the phone. Make sure your phone's turned down. And if anybody, you know, would like to call in and talk to Mr. Lair later on the show or listen to our show, please listen to or call in 657-383-1410. Well, Rooster, I'll be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to officially get started here. Everyone, welcome to the AMA Pioneers and Legends Archives Radio Show, Parts Unknown, where we feature the personal, up-to-date interviews with the pioneers and legends of sport karate and the American martial arts artist icon. Tonight, as you heard earlier, we have a very special guest tonight. His name is Mr. Rooster Mackin. And Rooster has some really qualities that's different. For instance, he was literally the first junior black belt champion in the United States. Later on in the show, we'll explain that in more detail. He has studied Shoryu Karate under Joe Alvarado from the beginning to this very day. And he has over 1,700 awards as a junior competitor. You know, he's a history general for the Sport Karate Museum, and he has been awarded a Living Legend Award from the Sport Karate Museum Archives. His traveling Texas partners were people like Mr. Ray McCallum, one of the greatest point fighters that ever lived, Mr. Al Francis, another great point fighter, and the ever-living, ever-legend, Linda Denley. He has done many appearances at the Six Flag Karate Shows, and we're going to be bringing him on here in just a few minutes. I'd like to always say that we welcome you to listen to our show. We thank you so much to take the time to spend it with us in this evening on Tuesday. And, you know, one of the focuses of our show is to emphasize our Who's Who in Martial Arts book, which was created by Jan Waldorf and Dale Brooks. But Hachi Bowen has taken on that adventure, and he's created this book that tells us stories of American legends and pioneers and the people who created American martial arts. This book is called The Who's Who in Martial Arts, and it can be located at Barnes & Noble. It can be located on Amazon. You can go to Century Martial Arts and Fitness and look it there. If you'd like to call directly and you would like to order it, you can call Hunchy Bowen at 657-383-1410. If you'd like to go to the website and look at it more in detail, go to www.who'swhointhemartialarts.com. Again, that number to talk to Mr. Bowen is 919-618-8075. Well, we thank you again for all the emails that you send us, and that's a special part of the show later on when we answer a few emails, and they come from all around the country, and this week we answered one that actually came from another country. That's pretty cool, I think. We really appreciate you sending and taking the time to do that. We'd like to welcome our new sponsors, Mr. Nick Chamberlain, Dr. Nick Chamberlain from the Gathering of Eagles, and the Kempo International Bible Hall of Fame. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later, too. Always welcome to AMAA, Who's Who in the Martial Arts Autograph Book. And our friends at Bible Magazine, Mr. Floyd Burke, editor, Mr. Robert Young, the head editor, for always being supportive through the years. I'd like to talk about a little bit later also our new format and also the new app that you can put on your phone. And Hunchy Bowen will talk about that at toward the end of the show. You know, we've got some upcoming guests that are pretty incredible. Next week, next Tuesday, we have Colonel Phil Torres, Marine colonel, hero, professional shooter, trained in Okinawa, trained with Dr. Mind G. We've got Mr. Bill Viola, Mr. Bruce Brucci, Mr. Jim Buten. Real excited. We're going to have Judge Roy Kerbin here pretty soon. Sam Chapman in a couple weeks. Mikey Rowe Moore, Mr. Bob Liker. We got commitments, Mr. Al Francis, Mr. Jerry Trimble, Gary Mock, great Duke Tershall, the photographer, and original guy that kind of started stunt work in Hollywood, Mr. Jim Hartley and the legend of Jim Harrison, and, of course, the great Mike Stone. These are all upcoming in the next few months. You know, I'd like to talk now about the young man we have. You know, I can't call him young. Heck, he's over 50 years old. Rooster, are you there? I'm going to make sure you're there so you hear what I'm going to say. Are you there,
yes,
buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Gary. Yes, sir.
Rooster, it's so hard. I was talking to Mr. Minshew tonight, and he was talking about your interview because he's really looking forward to you to being one of the roasters. But, you know, we just can't believe that you're over 50 years old. Got three beautiful kids, married, and done grown up on us. I remember you when you were 8, 9 years old, and it was one of the first things I remember about coming to Texas. And you were an incredible young man. You know, that's the first question I'd really like to ask you right up front. I'd like to know, basically, who is Rooster Mackin, and what did you get started? How did you get started in karate? I think you explained to me a little bit in the pre-interview that you played football, but talk to me about who is Rooster Mackin as far as the beginning level of that young age, okay?
I started karate back in 1972. I was 6 years old and walked into the karate. I just thought it was part of life. I thought it was something I had to do in life. My parents signed me up for Miss Alvarado's class, and the third night that I was in there, they called me. I looked like a little banny rooster out there moving around with a fighting gear on. And it stuck with me ever since. They called me Rooster at karate, and it carried on to elementary, middle school, and high school. Even when I went to college, I wrote on my papers Rooster Mackin. And this is where I went. If you said Dwayne, nobody knew who you were talking to. And
your real name is Dwayne Mackin, and Rooster is the
Dwayne
nickname.
Dwayne Mackin.
Because you're like a little rooster running around. Okay.
Yeah, I was small. Yes, sir.
You were tiny. You were kind of small, but you had that beetle blonde haircut that was very distinctive. And I would call you perky. You were very perky.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I had a lot of good people around me.
Yes, sir. I know you started karate at a young age, and you started with a great man. We'll talk about him a little bit later, Mr. Joe Alvarado. One of the founding members of the AOK. How did Joe Alvarado play in your life, and what exactly did he do to you for that young age as far as guidance?
Yeah, he was a good man. He was a good man that got me started in learning. Certain things and keeping a good head on my shoulder and being around good people. Having good people around you all your life, you'll do good.
Well, tell me about Joe and his karate.
Joe's karate was really, really strong in Austin. We had there was one Kempo school, Brian Duffy's, that was across town, and Mr. Alvarado, and I was actually supposed to go to Mr. Duffy's karate school. We took my mom took a left on Lamar instead of taking a right, and we ended up at the karate school of Mr. Alvarado's. Yeah.
Mr. Alvarado. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mr. Alvarado's karate school was probably the best place for me to go. I mean, not to say Kempo. I just, you know, where I was at, and they just kept me there. So we just stayed there. They didn't think I was going to stick with it, but.
Rooster?
Here.
Okay, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. You said you weren't going to stick with it, and then what happened?
Stick with it, but I did stick with it.
Okay, go
it
back.
It just carried on from there. Yeah.
Was that the karate school, Brian Duffy's, that was the upstairs and downstairs, that right there on
the
street?
Yes, sir, there on Lamar. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a good school, and Mr. Duffy's is a great instructor. Hard tempo guy.
He's great.
Very
sir.
Smart.
He is really good.
Well, how hard was it as a kid? How old, you started at five? How old were you?
Six.
Six
years old.
So
Mr. Lee. Yes, sir.
How hard was it as a kid? Was it all adults, or there weren't many kids back then? Now
there weren't many
about
kids back then.
Right.
Yeah. No, there weren't many kids. I mean, we didn't have hand gear and feet gear for the first 6 months I was in karate. Gear hadn't come out yet, and it was really neat. It was neat being a kid that looked like he knew what he was doing, and which I did. Mr. Alvarado taught me how to do the reverse punch, and that was the key thing. If you know how to do a reverse punch and you take somebody's win whenever you want, it just fighting came easy.
You know, Rooster, how long we known each other?
We've known each other for a long time. I was probably nine or ten when I met you, Mr. Lee, and doing these shows at the malls. We went to a mall in Houston and had a great show there.
I'm gonna make a point. I don't feel comfortable unless you scream, unless we do a Rooster call together. So I'm gonna do one. You gotta. I'm serious.
Okay.
My listeners may not understand, but I got a feeling that you're not going to loosen up for me and be the Rooster Mackin that I've known for 30 years unless we do a scream. So I'll do the first one, okay? So if you're listening, don't put your ears away from the microphone a little bit, and we're going to do a Rooster scream. And we've always done this every time we've seen each other. And I feel this is how we're going to break the ice tonight. You don't mind, do you, Rooster?
I don't mind.
We're going to do one together. Well, I'm going to do one, and you're going to do one, then we're going to do one together, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to do the first one.
Okay.
Hey, Rooster's in the house! Rooster! Oh! Oh! Let's do one together. Oh, Rooster! Rooster in the house!
Yeah!
Okay. That's out of our system, right? Okay? Now you loosened up
yes,
a little bit? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
I feel a lot better.
Well, I knew it. Hey, man, before the traveling. I mean, you live with Ray McCallum, the greatest point fighter that peers and writers and editors said. You live with him for 2 years. He was your best man at your wedding. What was it traveling around with the kid, the nomad, the great Ray McCallum and Miss Linda Denley? I mean, come on, that's so cool, man. What was it like traveling with those guys?
It was really neat. I came home with trophies, and they came home with trophies. I was in the juniors division, and they were in the adult division. They kind of not frowned on me winning the juniors, but they just They said one of these days you'll if you could do it in the men's division or the grown up division, you'd be a, it's a lot better. And I said, well, I appreciated my junior winnings that I did, and when I got in men's, I did the same thing. I won the years I fought in the men's, but just I enjoyed it. I loved it. I mean, just being around Linda Dinley and Ray McCallum, it just you felt like you just knew you were special. You knew things were great around you.
That's cool. But, you know, before the grow-up, before it became the adult, and we'll talk about that too, but I want to talk about something you did that, that nobody would ever do. And I'm not talking about winning trophies or you know, winning a tournament. I'm talking about being recognized by the whole state of Texas as being the very first Junior Golden Greek Award. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. You know, it took me 17 years to win the Golden Greek in 1997. And I remember, you know, when we lost Mr. Evanis and how tragic it was that Texas wanted to honor him forever. So they gave the Golden Greek Award to the best fighter, best kata person overall for the most points at all the tournaments of the AOK. Everybody wanted it. Everybody wanted to earn that Golden Greek Award. And you won it. What was it like and what's it been like all these years to know that you were the first?
It was special. I knew the Greek. I talked to him a few times, and it was a tragedy what happened at the end of the year of 1981. But they gave out the first award at the banquet in 1981, and I received the junior award. I won the junior award that night, and I just felt really special and really neat. It's something to walk around and hold your head up, knowing a lot of hard work and sweat that you did to get there pays off.
And the adult winner was a gentleman named Mr. Tim Kirby. That's
Tim Kirby,
right down student.
Was Cynthia Benavides.
Cynthia Benavides, great fighter. Now let's go back to for people who don't know who we called him the Golden Greek, Mr. Evanis. What type of? I mean, I never got to see him fight just on film. What was your watching fight? I mean, he was very dynamic, very exciting.
He was a machine. He was a machine. Like, I learned a lot when I was with Raymond Callum, and I studied Raymond and Linda growing up, just tried to figure out how they ticked and how they did what they did and put it together. And when you study somebody, that's how Mr. the Golden Greek was. He was a machine. He was a technician. And he was going to get in there and wear you down and take you out. And I just thought that was really neat, and that was hardcore karate back then. You know, if you take somebody's win by just doing the technique, it was pretty neat. And then you can hit them with heel kicks, you can hit them with jump back kicks. And that's what Golden Greek did. He get in there and punish you, and won the fight at the same time.
I was doing a interview or something with Mr. Larry Kasser. And rest in peace, Mr. Kasser. But he was telling me a story that stayed with me forever. He said that when Mr. Evanis would be warming up in the ring, he would draw a crowd as big as if someone was fighting. And everybody would just be overwhelmed by every time he'd throw a punch or kick, his gi would pop, snap, from the speed and the technique. And that was pretty amazing for him to sit there and tell me that. Now, winning that award has been very special for both of us. But, you know, I know that before the ratings, all the ratings that are doing now, and even in the beginning, you know, winning that Golden Greek was very, very special. And congratulations on that. And I appreciate you sharing that with my listeners. Now, what was your toughest fight and with who and where? And do you remember when it was?
I had a big fight with Carl Whitaker in 1980. We were at the Gulf Coast Nationals, Mr. Ishmael's Robles tournament. And in the eliminations, I had three hard fights from a group from Mexico. Mexico had a team that came over at the Gulf Coast National, and I was on that day. Well, I was on that day, but I made it to the finals, and when I got to the finals, I wasn't on in the finals. I did everything I thought right, and Carl Whitaker, every time I moved, he would hit me. And And that was my heart. I just couldn't. I still ain't got over it. I'm 52, fixed to be 52 years old, and it was 15 when this happened, and I still think about it all the time.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Carl's a great fighter. I watched him grow
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he
also.
Is.
Wasn't he eventually a Waco champion? Didn't he go to Europe and fight?
He sure did. He won the bronze medal at the World Championships in 86.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I remember him, those little guys like Tommy Bum, Anthony, Calvin Cross, Carl Whitaker, you guys, you guys were terrorists. what was the little guy? Anthony Ant. Remember Ant?
Super Ant.
Super Ant. It's really cool.
Anthony
all
Allen.
Guys stayed with it. Anthony Allen. They all stayed with it and grew up to be Texas legends without a doubt. Now, that goes into my last part of my first part of the interview is that your favorite top fighters from the blood and gut days, that's the 1960s, say the beginning of 70s, and maybe you didn't see them fight, but you heard about them, you hang out with them, you're friends with some of them. You know, who are your favorite top five 1960 blood and gut fighters? I mean, you live right next
Jim Buten.
Door to Mr. Burleson. Yeah, Jim Buten. What a great guy, man.
Jim Buten, Jim Buten was a hardcore. Yeah, do it. Yeah, he was meat and potato, man. He'd get in there and he's gonna whoop your butt and make you like it. And he was really really good to watch and learn from him.
Well, we do the Super Show every year together. He sits in the booth and signs autographs and gives the books. And we tell all kinds of war stories. Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. Name me four more guys. Another guy from the 60s.
In the 60s there. Mike Stone, he was a good fighter.
Good. Yes.
Roy Kirbin.
Yes.
And Jimmy Tavares was a good guy. I don't think he went that far back, but he was top of my list too.
He's in his 70s. He's coming up in the next decade. Pat Burleson. You're in the area.
Pat Burleson.
Okay,
there you go. Pat Burleson. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was.
Yeah.
He was a tough cookie there. Yeah. He still is a tough cookie. He's a good guy to be around. He sure is.
Yeah, he's the first, very first, like you were the first Golden Greek winner as a junior. He was the very first national karate champion in America from the junior nationals in 1963. I'll probably get corrected on that, but I think it was 1964. I do make a mistake every now and then. Let's go to the 1970s. Well, who are your favorite fighters there? I know you're going to say you said Jimmy Tavares. Name four other guys in your life from the 70s.
Lewis Arnold. Lewis Arnold was from Mr. Alvarado from my high school. He was top of the line. He taught me in classes as I was growing up, and he was a dynamite fighter to watch. He had a deep stance, and he had a reverse punch that would just put you in another ring. And him and Raymond McCallum had a few bites, and Roy Kirbin was good. And John Longstreet, he was awesome
Minnesota.
As well. Yeah, yes, from Minnesota. He was totally awesome. And Keith Vitale, Larry Kelly.
Great.
Man, the list goes on of just the technical fighters back in the 70s.
And you got to see him as a kid being a black belt fighting in those major tournaments. That's what's cool.
Yes. That is really cool. Yeah, you try to make the finals when you go to a national tournament. You wanted to win, but you wanted to make the finals. You wanted to get to the finals, and that was really neat to accomplish. And then when you got in the finals, you did what you needed to do to win. And just watching these top fighters that my mentors, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be like them. So I learned to study them. Watch and sit around the ring and watch what they did and how they did it and put it together and I think that's why I got where I got as early age.
Cool. Well, listen, I'm going to stop part one. I'm going to answer a couple emails and then I'm going to pay some bills. But stay on the line, stay close.
Okay.
And
sir,
I'll be back in a few minutes and ask for you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rooster. Stay close. We got part two coming up. Okay, the first question for our email tonight is back in the day, by the way, this is from Bill Scott. He's from St. Louis, Missouri. He says, back in the day, there was a fighter named Fred Wren. He called him Whirlwind, and I think he was from Texas. He started a safety equipment company for sport karate. What was the name of the company, and whatever happened to him? He was a tough fighter. Well, Mr. Wren is still in St. Louis. He still runs the foam company that created the company called ProTech. And now he makes floaties for, like, boats and things to preserving. And he'll actually be at the Living Legends 25th anniversary to roast George Minshew. Yes, he was one of the toughest fighters there was. His famous fight from Long Beach where he fought Mr. Jim Harrison is legendary. And that was way before equipment. He was known as Whirlwind. And, yes, he did come from Texas. He trained. He was under the Alan Steen legacy in the Alan Steen tree. Him and John Worley, Pat Worley, Larry Carnahan, Fred Wren, James Toney, just all the legendary people that were Skipper Mullins, the incredible people of that tree that Mr. Alan Steen built. But he's still here, and if you'd like to see him, we'll be having him here the 29th of September at the Living Legends. Our second email is from Ontario, Canada. Finally, someone from another country. Michelle Giggins, she asks, I live in Canada, and I love watching sport karate. Is there a lot of sport karate, and would you recommend someone that I could support their events? Well, right off the bat, I say the WMO from Canada, which is run by Scott Hogarth, Hachi Scott Hogarth. Scott Hogarth was is a world champion and a master karate instructor, but he's in charge of the Canada WMO, which is throughout the country, and he does tournaments. And I would contact him either through Facebook and ask him that you're interested in supporting the WMO Canada circuit. NBL, check them out because I think they have some tournaments in Canada. The past player and producers that have really made a name for Canada, people like John Funk, one of the big NBL promoters from the 90s, Mike Bernardo, one of the best auto performers with a bow that America or any of the world has ever seen. Of course, Bill Pickles, Danny Griffith, one of the great fighters. I would say, along with a couple of people here in the States, Keith Weston is the best one in the world in Japanese kata, and he's from Canada. The late Gren Kwan, we lost a few years ago. So there's quite a few people in Canada that's real popular who either do tournaments or you can simply look them up through Facebook. And Canada has got some great competitors. I don't think they were really ever filtered with the wannabe karate schools. Almost everybody I've met in Canada, dating back to the early 80s, going back to Wally Slocum days, the great Wally Slocum that fought people like Jeff Smith, and he was a point fighter and turned full contact, fought Mr. Smith for world championships. Mr. Smith won. But, you know, going back to those days, everybody – I've ever met from Canada were hardcore karate do. And there's some amazing people who are from there. Particularly my dear friend, Mr. Patrick McCarthy, he trained in Canada. And, Mr. Don Warner trained in Canada. And so there's a lot of good martial arts up there. We're going to actually take a moment to take care of one of our sponsors, the Eagles Gathering of Eagles in the Kempo International Hall of Fame. And Master Bowen is fishing to take care of that. So we're going to take that little break and tell you a little bit about the Gathering of Eagles, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Here's your chance to take your martial arts to the next level. Train with the Masters August 11th through 13th, 2017, in Dallas, Texas, held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas. Hawaii has been the melting pot for different cultures of the Pacific Rim for many hundreds of years. Food, customs, family, language, and martial arts all have been mixed together and come out stronger and better. This year's theme is the Hawaiian influence on martial arts through custom martial culture dress and fashion. We will have special guest instructors that represent the Hawaiian influence, including Professor Alakola from Maui, who will be sharing the Apila style of Kempo from Brother Abe Kama Hoahoa of Hawaii. and also teaching Hakka. Kuma Michelle Manu, who will be sharing the family style Lua from Grandmaster Solomon Kal Yuma, Kaliwalu, including both empty hand and weapons. She will be teaching her famous superhero experience. Self-defense classes where female participants dress up as superheroes. Women do not miss this. Grandmaster George Lim will be presenting the Hawaiian Kempo with his wife, Grandmaster Patricia Lim. Killis Hula Halu will be demonstrating and teaching hula on several occasions. And world-famous tattoo artist Tricia Allen, Ph.D., will be teaching a class on Polynesian culture and doing 4 days of custom Polynesian tattooing. Shoot fighting seminar taught by Grandmaster Bart Vail. MMA fighter Chuck Liddell's coach, John Hackerman. He runs the Pit Gym and guided Chuck Liddell to UFC light heavyweight status and has coached many other MMA fighters. To top off the weekend event, we have the Kempo International Hall of Fame. This banquet dinner event includes awards for the newest inductee members of the IHOF Recognition Award for its existing members. Nominate someone for the Hall of Fame on the GOE website. We will then contact the nominees, and the verification process will continue, with inductions being held at the Gathering of Eagles and International Hall of Fame Banquet on August 12, 2017 in Dallas, Texas. This is the Kempo International Hall of Fame, begun by Grandmaster Al Tracy in 2007 in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles. This Hall of Fame is a Kempo and Kempo-based system and is based on nominations from the governing board of the IHOF and also from the IHOF members themselves. This will be held in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles in Dallas, Saturday, August 12, 2017. Held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas, honoring the past and present brothers and sisters whose collective contributions are many and whose inspiration will continue on into the future to illuminate the path for those whom inspire to follow in their footsteps. GM Al Tracy, sponsors and vendors at the GOE KIHOF. This event is a perfect opportunity to get in front of hundreds of owners, instructors, and influencers from martial arts schools across the nation, Europe, and from around the world. There will be hours of networking opportunity throughout the three-day event in conjunction with special branding opportunities and IHOF media partners. For special media partners, contact Sabra Gerard at Sabra, and that's S-A-B-R-A at S-G. PR.com. For sales, contact Wes Davis at WesDavis65@gmail.com.
We have a couple of other events coming up. They're very important. The Superfoot Tournament, this is March the 31st, April 1st, in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, this tournament is produced by Mr. Don DeVries and Mr. Richard McLean. Last year, we supported this event, the Sport Karate Museum Archives, and it was a spectacular event. This year is going to be bigger and better. They're having it at the amusement park. And, yes, Bill Wallace will be there. And, yes, Bill Wallace endorses this tournament with his name. And that's something we just like to say, that I believe that Mr. Wallace has probably been approached by hundreds of people throughout the years to say that they can do this and do that. But he chose these two incredible men, Mr. Don DeVries and Richard McLean, to put his name to this event. It's a banquet. It's a tournament. It's a gathering. It's an autograph session. There'll be stars there like Mikey Rowe Moore, Mr. Joe Corley, Hanchi Bowman reviewing his book signing, Mr. Jeff Smith, and special guest this year, Mr. Glenn Keeney, the founder of the PKC, Professional Karate Commission. We're also going to be supporting the MGM Super Show that is sponsored each year by Century. This will be in Las Vegas. We'll have a Pioneers and Legends booth featuring the one and only Jim Buten and the number one world point fighter from 1980, Mr. Jimmy Tabaris. Hanchi Bowen will be there with his radio show and his book signing to get your autograph and to explain to you exactly what the AMAA is. And we will be excited about this event. This will be July the 6th through the 8th in Las Vegas. Now, also, we're going to be doing an event August the 4th and 5th with Sifu Dennis Brown. This is a NASCA premier event, United States Capitol Classic, in conjunction with his tournament, which is spectacular, one of the oldest tournaments in American history. He will be also be doing a book signing, but doing something special for all of us. He'll be hosting, along with Honchy Bowen, the Legends Banquet, which will be the gathering that happened last year, which was so successful. This year, Cyprian Brown and Mr. Bowen is planning an amazing event for everyone to come and share. And as they were saying in the interview the other night with Mr. Brown, it's a gathering of people coming together that probably would never be together, but they come together for the camaraderie. The banquet's cool. The seminars are really cool. The book signing's real cool. But some of these people haven't seen each other in 30, 40 years. And the magic of Honchy Bowen to be able to do that, I really admire him for that. Now, in September, the 29th and 30th, we'll be doing Cotta Wars. This is our amazing event that's produced by Ms. Darling McPherson-Pagels in the Sport Karate Museum. This year, we'll be doing Bubble Kumite again. The feature of Kata Wars is to invite all the grand champions from major tournaments from around the country and have them compete against each other for an actual national black belt kata title. We throw in 8 wild cards from the Sport Karate Museum picks, and you can imagine the shootout. We'll have the elimination Saturday at 1 o'clock, and then the finals will be that night at the George Minshew's Roast. Well, you know, going into the upcoming shows, we're excited because next week I'm just going to talk about my next guest next week, and that's Mr. Colonel Torres. And Mr. Torres will be on next Tuesday talking about his journey into Okinawan karate. And we have some people like Mr. Sam Chapman coming in, and he'll be February the 28th and March the 7th. John DeVries will be here, Rich McClain, talking about the Bill Wallace event. And, of course, March the 14th, incredible pioneer Mikey Rowe Moore. Jeff Doss will join us March the 21st. And to end out the month, on Tuesday, March the 28th, Heartless Jim Hartley and special guest George Clark to talk about the Jim legacy, Jim Harrison legacy. One of the features now that we're going to do right before we go back to our guest, we're going to feature the history generals of sport karate, and we're going to name a few every show. There's quite a few, so we're just going to name a few per show. But we want to give these people recognition to be a history general for the Sport Karate Museum Archives. And the idea and the vision that was created by Mike Stone, Alan Steen, Jim Harrison, Sid Campbell, King Knudsen, Howard Jackson, Michael DePasquale Sr., a few other people. And the vision of the History Generals is to have people who will be supportive about sport karate, not only from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, but be supportive of what we're doing today. We will see in our lifetime karate go in the Olympics in 2020 in Japan. And a lot of people that I'm mentioning here in this next few minutes are responsible for bringing sport karate to America as we know it. First one, Mr. Jim Harrison from Missoula, Montana. He's a pioneer black belt, Hall of Fame, karate legend. Sid Campbell, rest in peace, in California, was one of the first people to bring Shoryu Karate Do to America. Michael DePasquale Sr. and Jr. from New Jersey, they're responsible for bringing jiu-jitsu not only to that part of the country, which is the East Coast, but also to the FBI, to the CIA, and to the police forces around America. They introduced jiu-jitsu. Mr. Andrew Linick from New York, pioneer, legendary performer, one of the first people to do weapons in the grand championships to introduce the use of weapons from the nunchucks, the scythe, and jacamas. Mr. George Alexander from Tennessee, one of the founding Okinawa true masters who passes on his knowledge tremendously, historian, fighter, a pioneer. World champion, Mr. Ishmael Robles from Texas. Mr. Robles still teaches, and actually, pound for pound, people have said that Mr. Robles was one of the hardest hitting full contact fighters who ever lived. We're going to end it with two more. Miss Linda Denley. Oh, how do you say something about the greatest woman fighter that ever lived that not I say or the museum says, but peers, magazine editors, anyone you ask that was from that era that saw her fight, they agree that Miss Dinley was a tenacious Texas terror, and she's a class act. She always showed true karate class when she fought before and after. And we're going to end tonight's History General memory with Mr. Alan Steen. Alan Steen is known to be the father of Texas Taekwondo, and he's known to be a fighter himself. He won the internationals, a tremendous, tenacious fighter. People said he invented the Texas sidekick, which he did. But what he is known for, what most people don't realize, he created a stable of fighters that literally eventually went around the country and established schools. People like Mr. Worley, Pat and John Worley, Mr. Larry Carnahan, Art Heller. I mean, went to join. I mean, there's so many people that branched out from Mr. Fred Wren, branched out from Mr. Steen's stable and created it. So with that said, welcome to the part of the History Generals and that part session. I'd like to go back to Rooster. Rooster, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, I'm here, Mr. Lee.
Well, we had to pay a few bills, but we're back to you now. Now, this part of the interview is a fun part. I like this part, one of my favorite parts. It's called the Legends Name Game. And this is where I'll say a name to you, and within a couple paragraphs or 30 seconds, tell me how you feel about that person. This is parts unknown, so don't hold anything back and talk from your heart. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll say I'm ready. Woo! Rooster, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Give me a yell, man.
I'm ready.
Okay, there we go. First word on the list, Mr. Ray McCallum.
McCallum is the most point fighter that I know on this planet. He's number one in my book. He's my best man at my wedding. I got to live with him and learn a lot, karate, lifestyle.
What'd you learn from Ray McCallum? What'd you learn from him?
I learned that he was a technician guy. If you studied the fighter and saw the fight before the fight, he taught me how to see the fight before I fought it. And it's pretty hard to explain to you, but the fighters out there know what I'm talking about. If you study somebody, you can tell how the match is going to go. And 9 out of 10, it went the way you had in your head, and you saw it. And I learned that from Ray. And you take control of the match, and you just hit him with all kinds of techniques. He was the best technician that I knew, and schemes that he had, coming and going, be a defensive fighter to an offensive fighter. He was just incredible.
Well, like I said, he is an amazing person, and he's an amazing man. Now, outside the karate, what type of guy is Mr. McCallum? I knew he's a hunter, and he's got a big faith. What's he do besides karate? You did some other things with him?
He tried to teach me to read. He went to the library a lot, and he'd go sit and read in the library for 3 or 4 hours. And that's
really
my weakness. That's my weak point.
Yes, sir.
And
Well, that's cool.
He's very intelligent.
Yes, he is. Very smart. Okay, how about the second one? Jerry Fontanez, fast feet.
Fast feet, had the most incredible feet. And he can move around that ring on one leg than you could on two legs. You couldn't get away from Jerry. Jerry had kicks that would hit you in the front of the head and the back of the head at the same time. And he's another technician. He's another one that's an offensive fighter and just took the fight to you.
Did you become friends with him over the years and with in traveling?
We met in Bermuda, and he took me in, and we met again a couple other national tournaments, and we just became really good friends, and stayed in touch with each other. He's a really good guy. He is totally awesome.
Yeah,
human being.
He's family.
Yep.
He was on the Sherman Oak Raiders team with me, and got to know him real well. And plus, we in the early NBL days, we actually commentated together quite a few shows. Lots of fun. Miss Linda Dinley.
She's incredible. She's as a female, her athletic ability when she was younger, in her 20s and 30s, she was incredible athlete. Sprinter, just whatever. And her karate ability was just like Ray McCallum's. I had her in the same category as Ray McCallum, as, you know, she's a female, though. She could have won a lot of men's tournaments if they let the women fight the men. But she was just totally awesome in her technique. She got on you. She brought the fight to you, took it to you, and she did what she needed to do. She was just totally a person. She's a great lady. Very respectful.
One of the guys that's come out of the 90s and kind of hit us all with a brain storm. I mean, I really like this guy a lot. We actually did an interview with him not too long ago. But he is also an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum Archives. And I know he's also he works with the other museum out in California. But he's an ambassador for all of us. This is Jamie Cashin. I know you're friends with him.
Yes, Jamie Cashin's a nice guy. He's really nice. And what he's doing for, like, Pat Burleson and some of these people from the early days, 60s and 70s, and just an incredible person, human being. He's a really good guy to be around, and he knows what he's doing, and he does a great job. And I'm
okay. How about you met someone at the roast, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, your roast, but she's a legend. She's fixing to come on the radio show. We're going to interview her. Mikey Rowe Moore. What do you think about her?
I met Rocky, Miss Moore. I met her at your event a couple of years ago at my roast, and just learned a lot about her. She's a neat and just incredible person, and I just like being around her. And she's just really neat. I look forward to seeing her again shortly. And I just want to tell you, I wish I'd have got to see her fight in her days, because I bet she was really good.
Well, yeah, she was a terror. You know, she's one of the few women who didn't like equipment, and she literally she didn't like fighting with equipment. But she was also the first arbitrator for Ed Parker for the Long Beach International, the first woman arbitrator.
Right.
That's pretty cool. And a correspondent for Karate Magazine and Black Belt Magazine. Now, I want to ask you about someone who's very special to you, and believe it or not, I believe that she was a pioneer, because back in the day, you had to have someone to help run the tournaments, and this young lady was one of the pioneers of that. I'm talking about Judy Macon and your dad. I mean, they're. Tell me a little bit about them and what they've done for you.
My mom and dad are my rock. They're just totally awesome parents. They taught me well. My dad was a hard man growing up, but I loved it. I'm who I am today. And we're best friends, and just love being around him. But yeah, he was firm. He stuck to his word. If he told you to do something, you better have done it. If not, you gotta pay the price. But I did what I was told. But my mom, she was like the taxi driver. She drove me to tournaments every weekend. Going to work out, coming back, going to karate tournaments. Probably went through about 4 or 5 vans in about 2-year period of traveling all the time. My mom got me to the fights, and actually she was my biggest cheerleader up in the stands, and if I didn't win the fight, she was going to let somebody know.
I still see her. I still see her in my vision. I have to think back, but I do. I still see her, man. And if you didn't get a point, she let the people know about it. She let the people know about it.
they're special people. And I appreciate you bringing them up. That my mom and dad are my rock. I love them, and they know it. And I got the best parents in the world.
Well, I love your mom and dad, and I'll tell you the reason why to my listeners. Back when you were 9, 10 years old, you know, I had this crazy idea about performing at a music park called Six Flags, and she was one of the people, parents, I called up to get you to come, and it was a sales to be able to talk her. They're driving 200 miles and drop you off with a crazy Hawaiian. But we did it, little brother. We got to do all those shows with Brian Duffy and Tim Kirby and Linda Denley and Al Garza, Chris Bennett. I mean, we had some great times. It was a lot of fun.
Did.
And your mom is a hoot. And then I'll never forget the demo we did for the Memorial City on Valentine's Day. When we shut down the mall. Do you remember that, Rooster?
Yes, we were so packed.
The fire marshal came in, and they didn't know what was going on, and the owner said, well, it's a karate demonstration. We didn't know this many people would come. But I remember one particular thing. We had a great event, and I remember one particular thing that we did. I had you on stage with, rest in peace, Jeff McCray, and you guys were friends, but, man, you guys had wars. Wars.
We did. We did. We did.
And I never forget, the place was packed, hundreds of people, and Jeff either kicked you off the stage or you fell off the stage, and then the stage was 4 foot off the ground. And you jumped up like a rooster you are, nonstop, kept going like it was a movie. And do you remember that fight, Richard?
Yeah,
that
I do. I do remember that fight. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It was neat. Well, it was really neat.
How about this one? More for the memory lane. Do you remember it wasn't Six Flags, but it was Wayne Wynn's event or George Minshew's event, and then you fought on a little stage, a 3x10-foot stage, and all the equipment was on the stage. Who was you fighting? Lightning Sorrell? Or anyway, you guys fought on that stage, and you didn't even have enough room to turn around, much less fight on.
Right.
I can't remember who was you fighting that day. Do you remember?
It was George. It was Lightning, George Sorrell. It was George Sorrell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man,
we had some wars. We'd fight whatever we could go. We adapted to the. It's supposed to have been a 20x20, but it was like a 30x10, and we just made the adaptment and we just did it.
Yeah, you knocked off all the equipment and kept going like nothing.
Yeah.
That was crazy, man. Well, you know, a few years back, I remember calling you up the day after Christmas, and saying, Rooster, I've decided to honor all the junior black belts in America, and I need someone to base that with. So I'd like to go out to the first junior national champion, which is you. And you didn't expect that. You were kind of overwhelmed with that. You didn't know how to take that. In fact, you downright, went kind of – I mean, I know you didn't expect that to happen. And, of course, you have something pretty special in your life. And I want to say thank you so much to Nicole for letting me borrow you tonight for this Valentine's show. Thank you, Nicole. But Nicole and her family and your family was instrumental in putting together the Rooster Mackin Living Legends Celebrity Roast. What was that like now that it's been over for a couple of years and the anxiety of building it up and having all your friends there and your family and the karate people? What was that like, Rooster?
I got an incredible wife. She keeps me in line with the Lord, and we just worship together. We love together, and she's incredible. She's a very beautiful lady. I married up, even though I might be Rooster, had been something when I was younger, but I did marry up, and I got a special.
Well, I realize that she is very special, but what was it like to be roasted and have all your friends there at that roast? What was the roast about? Tell me about
it was about family. I had a bunch of friends there that have never seen me fight, but they've heard about my fights and we watched videos. But yeah, I had a great time at the roast. I had a bunch of young people there. I had some older people there, and it was incredible having Gary Lee. Do what Gary Lee does is just incredible. Gary, you just go out of your way. You keep the lights shining on people from the 60s, 70s, 80s. You're just incredible what you've done, what you've been doing, and what you're going to do in front of you. But I just want to thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Rooster. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you so much. Again, this show's about you, little brother. So I want to ask you again – from the beginning, I like to know what it's like being a history general for the Sport Karate Museum, and also tell me what you donated a few years back as far as the archives. You donated some stuff. Tell me about that stuff.
Yeah, I donated. It's just an honor to be a part of the group, which I feel like I deserved it because many years I put in.
Hello?
Yeah? Can you hear me?
I've lost you there for a moment. Is your phone making a bad connection or?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I donated a white gi and I donated my blue gi my red gi that has the rooster on the back that I fought over the years of when I was a junior. And I turned in some feet gear. The first feet gear I got, the Brand X feet gear that came out, I have Chuck Norris sign it and a Bill Wallace sign it. And each one of them, and I turned it into size 5 when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Well, we appreciate the memorabilia, and it's very special, as you know, as you've seen it displayed.
You've done a great thing, Mr. Lee.
Well, thank you, Rooster. It's all for you guys and the pioneers and legends about this, what this show's about, and the opportunity that Hachi Bowen is giving me to be able to talk to you guys one-on-one like this. You know, I've really enjoyed this time spending with you and talking about the walk down memory lane. But, Rooster, what's in store for you now? I know you've had some surgery and you've had some stuff. You're retired from fighting, correct?
Last year I got repaired. I had both my shoulders operated on and my hands. And this year is the year of the roosters, what the Chinese people say. So this is my year to come back. I'm going to start doing some sparring. And I can teach kids class. I'm good with kids. And I think I can teach a kids class at a couple of schools here in Austin. And just keep going and growing with karate.
Well, you and Jamie and Billy Smith, Steve Parks, and Dean Piles are in charge of the Bubble Kumite, which is the bubble machine fighting that we do with the little kids. And I will say that you are excellent with children. A lot of it comes back from your beginning and your start with Joe Alvarado and all the incredible people you've been around. And, again, I really appreciate you taking time and spending time with me on Valentine's Day. And sharing your history as a junior fighter, sharing your memory of sport karate. I want to share this with you. Do you realize that coming up, Texas karate has been around a long time, but my thing is coming up in Texas, there's a lot of tournaments. Do you go to a lot of these tournaments now, making appearances and supporting these tournaments, the ones that are here in Texas?
Yeah, I try to go to 4 to 5 a year. And last year was a bad year for me, but the years up to last year, I've tried to go to 4 to 5.
Are you there, Rooster?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're getting, I guess, towards the end of the show, or our batteries are running low. I don't know which one, whichever. But we've got some upcoming things that Hachi Bowen wants to talk about. And, again, I want to say thank you. Stay on the air. I'm sure that Mr. Bowen would like to say something to you. And we appreciate you taking time and talking to us today and sharing your parts unknown journey and adventure. Let's see if anyone's on the air to talk to you. Hachi Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Is there anyone there to talk to you tonight, or we'll go right into your event?
Have a couple people in the line, so the lines are open. So if anyone would like to, join in with our show tonight, make a comment, or, like I said, just sort of share, let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Professor Gary Lee. Who's on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Who's this?
This is Animal.
Animal. This is Kevin Roy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, say hello to Rooster.
What's
How
up, buddy?
How you doing, Kevin? I'm doing great.
Woofy
woof. How you doing? Yeah, woo.
Highly favored, sir. Highly favored, sir.
I'm doing great, Kevin.
Highly favored. Say again?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Kevin?
God gave me another day, so I can't complain.
Awesome. That's great.
Well, let's tell the listeners who you guys are. You guys met when you were like 9, 10 years old. Kevin's one of my proteges. Richie was Joe's protege, and I put you guys together, and you guys kind of fought against each other for a while and became friends. I think Kevin's 50 years old, too. How old are you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm 51.
And Richard's turning 52 and his birthday party at the Living Legends. What's it like getting old, guys?
It's always good. It's like wine. Get better.
You guys, I just can't see you guys being old, man.
Yeah.
I remember when me and Rooster fought Texas against Mexico full contact team, and we tore them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I'm gonna say.
Was that
78? Probably
77 or 78?
Yeah. 78 or
wow.
79. It was. Yeah. I was still a green belt then,
right.
And they were missing one buddy to fight advanced teams, and Rooster picked me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys
yep.
are old.
Yeah.
You guys fought 78. Right. You guys are old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll
awesome.
See each other at the Living Legends on the
okay.
on the 29th in Houston. And, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys come together. I'm getting Chris Bennett to be there, too. So we're going to have like a little reunion.
Thanks for calling in, Kevin.
Thank you,
no
Kevin.
Problem, sir.
Here,
my
buddy.
Pleasure. My pleasure, sir. Oh, Sensei.
What a great call. I mean, you guys bring back some memories. But I'm still going to tell you, Richard, you're old.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way,
yeah.
You know, we're planning the big 52nd birthday party for you Friday night
right.
with the Harrison.
Awesome.
So how cool is it to have your birthday party along with a tribute to Jim Harrison? Man,
that's
going to cool.
be great. I know there's going to be some good people around there, and it's going to be awesome. There'll be a lot of pioneer people there as well.
Sure. Is anybody else on the line? Can Dr. Rooster? Hi, is anybody else on the line to talk to Rooster?
Hello?
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 I think that's it, sir.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Well, that is my producer, Mr. Jesse Bowen, Crunchy Jesse Bowen. He's got some announcements to make on his upcoming events and also maybe emphasize a little more on the book. Hachi Bowen, I'd like to hear more about Euphoria and some of the other events that you're involved with coming up.
Well, great, sir. We have a lot of really great things that's happening in sport karate. And as karate now moves towards being an Olympic sport, there are more and more opportunities. That's the advantage of, you know, the sport and supporting the sport of karate is because not only is it good for the Olympic side, but it's also good for, you know, the sport karate side. We are now part of the Europa Games, which is going to be held in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've been asked to be the director for the event, so we're really trying to really push that because the Europa Games are in sports festivals. is one of the largest sports festivals in the country, actually in the world. And there's an event happening in Charlotte, one in Phoenix, one in Dallas, one in Tampa. So it's not just an event; it all sort of moves to a really large tournament that's going to be happening actually the week after the Super Show in Las Vegas. So there's an opportunity for competitors not only to compete in the Europa Games and be a champion of it, but they'll also get a chance to go to Vegas also and compete in Vegas. So that's really some big news, you know, as far as sport karate opening up and different opportunity. With the American Martial Arts Alliance Sport Karate League, you know, we have quite a few tournaments coming up, the Battle of Atlanta, the Dixieland Nationals, Europa Games, your event in Texas, Professor Gary Lee. We just finished John Chung's event, And we just signed on to Mountain View with Doug Armstrong in Ashley here in North Carolina. Ashley, Jeff Doss's event. And the Europa Games are going to be going on the same day. One is in Virginia, up towards D.C. area, and the other was in Charlotte, down towards South Carolina. So there's quite a bit of distance in between the two events. But two amazing events that's happening on the same weekend. We've got Grandmaster James White and his organization supporting. So we're looking to have a great, great event. And I realize, as I said before, you know, we have we're getting some great opportunities. And, you know, for me, it's really, you know, an outstanding. And then coming up in August, we have the release of the 2017 Who's Who in the Martial Arts. So if you have not sent in your bio or made a nomination, please do that as quickly as possible. We'll hopefully to have this book wrapped up in at least a month before the event, which is going to be at the Gaylord Resort and Convention Center in Washington, D.C., where Grandmaster Dennis Brown will be hosting his U.S. Capital Classic event, which is a phenomenal event. And this year it's going to be, you know, we've got a few surprises. We're waiting on to get them confirmed. But this is going to be a historical event, not just an event, but this is going to be a historical event. And you really would want to be at this event. You want to be a part of the history that will happen, you know, at this event. So, you know, just, you know, keep following us. If you want to know more about the Europa Games, you can go to AMAA-EuropaGames.com. And like I said, you can also, if you want to order a copy of the book, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, you can go to www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com.
Well, thank you so much for the information. And Monty Bone, would you like to say something to Rooster before we say goodnight?
Rooster. I had that great opportunity to meet him in Texas. He's the only guy that I know that carries an extra copy of the magazine with him on the cover. So I like Rooster. He's high energy. He is high energy. I like him.
All right. Well, I like you too, Mr. Jesse.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Happy Valentine's Rooster, Day.
Yeah. Yes. Thank
and
you for being here tonight, Rooster.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
And on behalf of the AMAA and Masters and Legends Parts Unknown Show, this is Professor Gary Lee wishing you a very happy Valentine's Day. And remember, if you like something, if you have something in your attic or basement and it's memorabilia of sport karate, just go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org or give me a call at 713-483-0476. And contact me email, Professor Gary Lee at gmail.com. On behalf of the AMAAA, good night and have a great, great, great tomorrow.